So we at Theistic Media Studio, whatever you call it, night show or day show, whatever is night, day, evening show. You know, in Gita it says whatever night for some people, it sounds like morning for another people. Or it says that who's inspired by spiritual things, this world is like darkness for him and he's enlightened with spiritual stuff. So we have Bhakti Lalita, she's totally enlightened with spiritual stuff. And myself, Swami Avadhut, I'm just finishing the European tour and Russian tour and coming back to Thailand for a few days. So we have opportunity to discuss latest spiritual news.
Yes. So welcome back. We're all very excited to have you back.
Yes.
And we wish you'd stay longer.
I also wish I would stay longer.
But please tell us about your adventures these days. What have you been up to and where have you been going?
Since I have explosive, destructive nature, you know, and Gurudev said sometimes you need to put a stick of dynamo to make some tunnel or to remove some obstacle, I feel it's a great opportunity to be used by Krishna and go to some places to wake up some devotees or actually see how devotees already awake and do things and be inspired by them as well. So I've been traveling to Germany, I've been traveling to Italy. It's like two main places. I went to Latvia, Riga, but in between we went to Switzerland, France, you know, Baltic states. I felt about Europe some very good vibe. And as you know, like Prabhupada came to Paris, devotees been trying to do something in Germany, like maybe, 30 years ago. But now the picture has totally changed.
Yeah. It's a new age, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the new age is a terminology about, you know, near spiritual concepts, which sort of flying in the air. And we know what those concepts are, yoga, vegetarianism, you know, like beginning stages of some spiritual misconceptions or some very materialistic perceptions. Because devotion is very high, but we always know wherever the light is, there's a smoke, there's a heat. So, you know, we know this game about somebody's hiding and with the closed eyes they tell you warmer, warmer, warmer.
Hide and seek.
Yes, hide and seek. So in this hide and seek game, I think Europe become much warmer for Krishna consciousness than before.
That's wonderful news. And we hope this is the beginning of the waking up of Europe and the warming up of Europe.
See, Europe
this will be one of many of your visits.
But remember, Europe is not like America. It's still under banner of European Union, but still there are many people in Italy, they speak Italian, they don't speak English. The Germans are impressively speaks English, the young Germans, I think, but, you know, there's also Spain, but Europe in a crisis.
Yeah.
Like many countries like Italy, Spain, they're in a big crisis. And I believe the crisis is when after World War II, they need to redevelop economy, people had some kind of motivation. Now their motivation is totally mundane, to less work, more to enjoy. And I think it produced a particular vibe in the economy. And also we know about imperialism, so, you know, money attracts money. So I think there is a room for people who's looking for spiritual enlightenment and spiritual truth. And I think with our way of searching this kind of people, we can locate them in vegetarian restaurants, at certain music, art events, at certain yoga festivals and places. So I would say this way, it's a very favorable environment for those who are looking for connect with the audience about Krishna consciousness to go to particular events in Europe, because now this has been like established, and to connect with people. And you know, we had the presence on some festivals with the Full Dome Vedic Planetarium, we had the Vegan Soul Vegetarian Kitchen, But we also chant, and people like us chanting. People actually want to hear chanting, to participate in chanting. They'd like to know more about chanting. You know, some of them like observing. Some of them thinking, well, what kind of chant? What is this? So it's kind of very, very, you know, positive. But of course, if you would say, well, if there's everything positive, why not everybody striving in Krishna consciousness? Well, there are a few problems. First of all, people connect with very superficial concepts. Like one of the most famous book in Italy was like, live by your heart. You know, we have some swamis who's like to proclaim this idea as well, like, oh, follow your heart. So I said, well, what if this book, Follow Your Heart, is written by Adolf Hitler?
What did they say to that?
Well, I mean, they were very shocked because, you know, it sounds pretty good idea, follow your heart, but who this impression coming from? Is it coming from someone with mundane tendency, with exploitive nature, or somebody will tell you which kind of heart to follow? Because in Bhagavad Gita, there are different levels of advice that Krishna is giving to different people. And he superiorly explained you why he wants you to do this, not to do this, like even about yoga. Now, Krishna gives very clear understanding what the yoga is. And then he will explain in Gita why he thinks it's very difficult to attain perfection and why he thinks devotee is much, much more superior. So if this follow your heart comes from a saint, a god himself, then I believe it's a good statement, because that's the title of the book. But then as you go inside the book, you should really realize you must have a certain quality of your heart, certain purity of your heart. There's a heart purification process. And what would be the true heart feeling? Because, you know, we say love is connected with the heart, so it's not satisfying your own self, rather sacrifice for others and for the higher purpose, for Krishna, for God. And then there would be like many, many chapters of this book. So we all love the intuitive, you know, kind of like natural sense, the seventh sense that comes from us to divine plane. And we all, actually in Krishna consciousness, we pretty much appreciate this. But we can say you cannot ignore divinity. You cannot ignore that divinity has way of think, has way of present things. You know, I spoke to many people, like in Germany, some people are very materialistic in a way of like, they're perfectionists. They like to do everything perfect. But there's perfection beyond their perfection. You know, they can do perfect things, but how can you realize perfection in this world? Well, material perfection can be realized by material qualities. You can say it's a German quality product. You know, everything's German, totally German. It's minimalistic. It's very practical. It's very, you know, it's a great usability. But what about subtle qualities of your heart? What about qualities of your soul? What kind of perfection soul must have? Mm-hmm. So in the Gita, you will find many things about what kind of person you should be. But to become that person overnight is almost impossible. So it requires some spiritual practice. And as Srila Sridharmar said, thesis, antithesis. So sometimes he explained the thesis is someone who's imperfect try to do something which is perfect, which is totally funny. Just imagine you're like a very imperfect person. And you're trying to do something what is perfect, and you're like a baby. You was born yesterday in your spiritual life. So how can this look like from outside? Of course, it looks something like whimsical or crazy or not pretty developed. But thesis meet antithesis means like, let's say you're a cook. You're trying to go to kitchen. you try to cook some, you know, French dish, you know, gourmet cuisine, you're not going to make it from the first time. And then antithesis, instead of making something very great and something very special, you're making something very imperfect, and you burn all your ingredients, and, you know, something comes in the end. Thesis, antithesis. So where's the synthesis? The synthesis, as a guru, you come into a kitchen and you don't start immediately make some, you know, special dish and preparation. You're coming under someone who'll tell you, you know, peel potatoes, give me like two potatoes. Cut them like this. And that's where you begin your introduction to the great cuisine. So this is a spiritual life. This is spiritual practice. So you go to the kitchen, you make the master chef, and under my master chef guidance, you start follow very simple things which may not be immediately connected with some high-level cooking. Mm-hmm. But because you participate in this process, you become high-level cooking. But what makes you different from the great cook? Because you can almost cut ingredients as good as he does, or maybe sometimes even better if you, you know, do very, very careful, you know, like cut potato for 1 hour, take another hour to cut carrots. But kitchen is not about how perfect you cut vegetables. Kitchen is about taste, what comes in the end. So when you look at the great chef, he got almost intuitive, the follow heart system to pick the ingredients and to, like, you know, fry them, you know, like this, and like stir them and add some particular spice at particular moment. And then make sure that this goes off the oven so it's not overcooked or it's not burnt, it's not spoiled, it's just perfect enough. So that's what I've said to the, I mean, you don't talk about food with Germans, you talk about food with Italians. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty much, that's what I spoke to German guy about BMW engineering thinking when you produce your product. Because German are perfectionists, but how can you produce BMW without going to the BMW team, learn how these guys think, how they understand? So this is the world of guru. Mm-hmm. When we're coming to spiritual path, we have very low perception on spirituality. Actually, we have no perception. Because we can't identify what's spiritual, what's not spiritual, how we relate with what's spiritual, what's sacred, you know, we would think different in normal material life. So in a spiritual revelation, it requires totally different thinking.
So what do you do when someone's so far from understanding the necessity of accepting a guru or a guide or a chef teacher?
Right. You first start feeding them with good food.
See, literally or figuratively?
Yeah, both. Like when you go to devotees, first time you get introduced to prasadam. That's why Prabhupada, he said, you know, prasadam is our secret weapon. Because we can't expect that someone's coming from totally materialistic background and immediately, we're going to give him the highest philosophy. And even he appreciates it, it doesn't mean that he started thinking in this way. But what we want to do is to give them higher taste. As it says in Gita, Param Trishtvam Nivartate, when higher taste is acquired, the low taste is going down. So we need to subject someone to the higher taste. And that's the mantra, O sons of nectar, you burn, you're meant only for the nectar. So in our Krishna conscious plane, there is a prasadam, an interesting thing. You know, we're trying to survive. And as Italian devotees, they're trying to survive. They're trying to pay the bills, and, you know, Europe is very expensive. But they can't go work 8 hours a day all the time, because the spiritual life requires a lot of intention to maintain temple and ashram, just like here, same as like here. But here's like 40 people, there's like 5 people. And these 5 people also thinking, how are we going to pay our bills tomorrow? So they do full vegetarian food sell on festivals, but that's like in the summer, like they really do like 3-4 big festivals. They require a lot of driving, you know, set up, meeting people, doing hard work. But to get their like daily cash, day by day, they're marketing vegetarian cakes. So the devotees' vegan cakes are the most tasteful cakes in Italy. They're sugar-free. Like I ate, like Haridas told me, Maharaj, you just lost weight. You're coming fat from Italy. I said, because I'm eating the cakes every day. I'm eating the pizza. And I'm also eating the olive oil with bread. You know, like, well, how can you stop eating all these wonderful things when you're in Italy? Italy, that's actually the name of the famous restaurant in Rome. Italy means eat, okay? Mm-hmm. So, the devotees start producing the most amazing sugar-free vegan cakes. And first, like, one restaurant start coming and people taste and they love it. Then they tell to another, like, word of the mouth, you know, those restaurants, they cakes. Then people searching them. They're searching the product they found, and like Krishna Kanta say, like, we can't produce too many of them. So in Russia the word deficit, because it's Soviet time, you can't have enough things. So some things were like hard to get. The brand wasn't like deficit, but deficit means like something you can't get. It's a totally Russian thing. It's like you pay double the price for it. It's almost like an iPhone when it came out, people want to buy all over the world. But how did they got it? The great stuff comes by the word of the mouth, by the advertising. So we start with giving people taste of prasadam. Prasadam, it can mean everything, the association, kirtan, a pleasant dealings with devotees, talk. And that's how we get people to learn about higher taste. And that's how Krishna consciousness worked.
Well, that's how Srilaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami was so successful, as you said.
Well, I mean, he applied a little marketing into it, meaning like people would, almost like Nityananda Prabhu, if you can come to us, we'll come to you. But I think there's one important thing, which I think we do a little different. Because when you're trying to give people something good, they not necessarily perceive you as someone who's trying to give something good. Sometimes, you know, they perceive you, oh, you're trying to push your religion, and I'm kind of the guy or the person who have my own brain to decide what I want to follow. That's a very common template of people. So I think Prabhupada was a great personality. He's very charismatic. He moves around. It was a particular time. But I think in our case, we should try some other strategy. It was amazing here in Thailand, you know, we would go chant. Actually, we all know go chant. Do you know, like, people meet me on the market, say, are you the fat guy who chant? I say, yeah, I am. And they say, like, do you want, like, discount? They start offering us discount when we buy things. And I'm wondering why. And I tell you, they like us. We might not sound very spiritual for them. We just, they think we're some kind of crazy guys who's waving hands and do the ball dance, you know. And that's what we did in Riga. So when I came to Europe, we went to dance. And I said, come on, guys, if you like very serious like this, you know, who's gonna, like, we must accept we're funny, okay? Like, we're not divine, we're not, see, the difference is some people believe in their own kirtan. We believe in kirtan of Mahaprabhu. We believe in sages. We don't think what we're doing is so divine, you know, we're so serious about, you know, like, and if people don't recognize, we become very offended. That's not our program. When we go to chant, we want to give good vibe to people. I mean, we know we're chanting holy name. That there is no doubt about that. But it's just like, we understand, we want to be friendly, we want to be positive, we want to smile. We don't want to go like a whole bunch of like people that just will be crucified after 5 minutes, and they're like in a very big, serious stage. So people appreciate us, and they start recognizing us. And that's what we've done just in Riga. We had really wonderful ladies that took initiation from Gosvaimars, and I told them, try to move around and do the bulb dance.
Yeah,
and
we saw the pictures.
Yeah, and we had like a bulb dance, and people likes us. Mm-hmm. And I think here in Chiang Mai, people likes us.
Sure.
And in Italy, they definitely likes us.
Tell us about Rome, please. What's happening in Rome?
I mean, I'm really amazed. This place is so messed up. First of all, the economy is in Italy down. Second of all, it's a beautiful city. I'm from St. Petersburg, built by Italian architects, Rastrelli, Botticelli. The many Italians came. They actually built Kremlin, the Russian Kremlin built by Italians. But now I understand where the St. Petersburg Italian architects took all the concepts they took in Rome. So when you say all roads lead to Rome, it's really true. It's a totally amazing place. It's completely messed up by economy, by time. It's like very special because you pretty much see the roads when Julius Caesar would walk, and everything's there. What I discovered very interesting, there's like Christian culture, and Romans, they were pagans. Christians took everything best from pagans.
The Roman Catholics.
Yeah, yeah. Everything built on like Roman concept, even the centralized idea of spirituality. And I think they did smart. They know you can't run the world by strict politics, but you can run the world by religion. So there are many great monuments. So I went to Italy, and I want to buy some medicine, and they told me it's not available here. This medicine is very expensive. It's not available here, but you can find any kind of medicine in the Vatican pharmacy shop. And I said, can I go to Vatican? They said, yeah, if you go from the back door, show your passport, show your perception, they will let you in. So I sneak inside Vatican in this kind of dress. And there are many like people, and they're like guards. And you know, they have Swiss guards. And do you know why? I understood historically they hired the Swiss guards because the Swiss guards like religious fanatics, and they're going to hurt even Italians, okay? So the Swiss guards in some kind of phony clothes, they're still there. They're very nice. They tell you here, there, but they're like, you're not allowed to go here, you're not allowed to go here. Like, they watch you, who you are. And I went to spiritual dress. So I sneak inside Vatican, and I went to the pharmacy. And I was really amazed. Any kind of pharmacy, you can buy it, and it's cheaper. But I said, do you have VIT, VAT refund? They said, no, we don't pay taxes.
It's its own country, the Vatican.
Yeah, its own country, they don't pay taxes. The supermarket in Vatican are really super. It's twice cheaper than just outside in Rome. It's very busy. So many of the Vatican workers that live in Rome buying things there, it's kind of like live its own life. And there's a one day where the Pope showing his face and waving hands, and now they got new program, the friendly Pope. The people we burned before, it was passed. Now we're kind of friendly guys. They're changing. They're also changing.
Yeah. And what kind of people were you meeting in Rome? Like students or hippies or?
Well,
what kind of people?
One amazing thing, Rome full of Bengalis from Bangladesh, and totally corrupt. Because these people sell things on the street. So wherever you go, you hear, Kemanachen, Amitabhalachen. They were amazed the way we speak. But they're mainly Muslims from Bangladesh, not from Indian parts. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they got it, but all Rome full of Bengalis. Like, the first thing, you feel you're in Bangladesh. then you can understand the place where they burn Giordano Bruno, the flower place, evening time in Rome. You can go 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll see people very friendly, drinking restaurants. All historical Rome is like restaurants, boutiques, shops, you know, and it's like it's living its own life, and people in Rome very open, friendly. They're kind of like, they're kind of hip people, actually. And like, if Milan, you can understand it's business. Rome, it's all about politics, art, and nonsense. Because there's millions of tourists coming. So it's like a very tourist place. And I understand why Prabhupada wanted to be there. So we've got the new preaching center in the very, very historical part of the Rome. I would say in the heart of the Rome. A little bit off because the price is not so crazy, but we in Trastevere. Trastevere, it's like the heart of the Rome. It's like all, it's all about Rome. It's Roman Rome. So the building where we've got preaching center is Mahaprabhu time, maybe older than Mahaprabhu. It has entered to the caves. It has like a arch ceiling, double floor. It's an amazing place, actually. Mm-hmm. I believe it built before Mahaprabhu. Yes. So we've got the preaching place, and we've got an amazingly great price because they not allowed this place to be rent for the restaurants because there's already too many restaurants in the historical part of the Rome, and they can't make it shop. So we were, as yoga people, the only people who's like really need this place because it's non-profit.
Tell us about the place. It's going to be Veda Life in Italian.
Yeah, well, version. First of all, we call it Veda Vita. I don't like the Vita. I don't like any more life. Vita, vitality, Vita, life. Mm-hmm. It's the Roman word, Italian word, Veda Vita. That's actually our place. And why I like Vita, because it sounds like life in Italian. Mm-hmm. But it's even more cool. Because Vita has many sub words, and it's like another V instead of L. And first of all, I haven't finished about Rome, so you understand what the Rome is. It's a very old city. It has a lot of challenges. It's a very, you know, Roman people are very proud. They know they live in center of universe practically, and even if it may stop right now a little bit, they still feel big proud. Roman people love sports, as they've been loved them for thousands of years. There's beautiful parks, amazingly beautiful parks. You can't believe how, like, Rome, it's seven hills, it's parks. So, and they love philosophy, and they love food. So when I went to the program, we had like 150 people. I was always, this cat is always complaining, actually. He wants to have and be in TV, but stop complaining, okay? Show the cat to the viewers, I understand. So. Show the cat. All you're doing, you're complaining all the time, okay? You're a very fortunate cat. You live in Hare Krishna ashram. You're black cat. Somebody else will throw you out, think you are suspicious, but actually you're very auspicious. You're almost like an Egyptian cat. Look at yourself. You're a high-level cat, and you're complaining, especially at the programs, and you go and sit down in the audience and listen to the lecture, okay? So anyway.
Yeah. Rome.
So Roman people like sports, but they also like nature. And that's why Veda Vita, it's about life. It's about Vedic way of life, a spiritual life, devotion. Mm-hmm. And when we gave first lecture, we gave like at ISKCON gallery, library place. There was like 150 people. The place was packed.
The bibliothèque.
Yeah, the bibliothèque. It was like, and a few people came from that program and even took initiation. Mm-hmm. So we connect.
We found that place because, you know, I'm a paranoid vegetarian and I won't eat where there's meat. We went looking for the one and only vegetarian restaurant in Rome, and it was that place. We discovered it last year. on our visit there. We met Ekadasi Prabhu. He was very warm, very affectionate.
Yes, but see, before we started preaching, ISKCON shut down their preaching in Rome. But now, after one of our program, and they see how many people came, they start programs again. Because sometimes you need the competition, sometimes you have to believe. So, you know, it's just like computers. Steve Jobs and others invent computer, and people wouldn't say, well, why do I need computer for? I'm a pensioner, but they don't know. Without a computer, you can't now receive pension, you can't do transportations, you can't do planes, you can't do logistics. Computer is everything now. And like 20 years ago, it was like, maybe we need computer, maybe we're not. Same as Krishna consciousness. It's about your soul, okay? It's about yourself. Like, you want to connect with yourself, with your soul, or like you want to be in darkness about yourself. So this is Krishna consciousness. And it's the time for people to discover themselves, just like a time for people to discover a computer. You know, somebody can say, we live without computer for thousands of years, but that's not true. People had internal calculation, especially in Indian time. But nowadays, it's an instrument, it helps you. So Krishna consciousness is like this. It's total consciousness. See, you may not be 100% Krishna conscious, but if you become conscious about who you are, what you eat, how you live, what's your goal of your life, you know, that's about yourself. So, you know what I mean? Like, at the moment, they may think, oh, there are, you know, some crazy people here in Thailand. They think about, you know, Krishna consciousness. But there was time in civilization when everybody were Krishna conscious on some level. That's what Prabhupada wanted. He said, Varnashrama Dharma means, like, no matter who you are, no matter what position you are, you have to be conscious about who you are and why you're living for. And that's an answer of to say, how we can practically apply this? Now, like, look, Russia versus Ukraine. People fighting for, you know, corrupt politicians. Do you think if they had, like, some higher consciousness, would this be happening?
Definitely not.
So, violence, craziness, disease, epidemic, you know, this is Krishna consciousness answer for everything. So we can answer all kind of questions with our philosophy. And, you know, in our philosophy, you can find happy family life, you can find yoga and health, you can find proper cooking and food, you can find fashion, you can find art, great literature, great storytelling, you know, great place to travel. You can find everything. Actually, Krishna consciousness is so great that you can only be inside Krishna consciousness. You know, you can go outside to store, to buy, you know, ketchup. And still, when you come back, you offer to Krishna and become Krishna conscious. So that means you're inside, you're outside. People haven't realized this yet because it's a very new way for the Western people, but I believe that's what Western people are looking for. And at this point, they have many, like, preconceived ideas what the spiritual life is, but things that works, they pick very quick, like yoga. So what I said to devotees, if you want to do Veda Vita, let's start doing a program, Yoga for All. And, you know, when we say yoga, it means besides just, like, you know, stretching yourself and feel good, it's yoga. There's yoga for your body, there's yoga for your mind, there's yoga for your soul. But, you know, we're starting, like, program, and they said, so how you started? I said, so just go to the park and start doing programs, and people will join you. So what happened was they started doing it. And it was getting more and more popular. While they started doing it, I called up devotees in Kiev. And there's like, now they're doing yoga for all every weekend in the summer in the park. There's like 300 people coming. And so the park authority said, well, why don't you give us like $50 officially so we can clean place from like sandwiches and stuff? and like you have an official license to do yoga in the park. But think what's in Moscow, Yoga Journal of Russia, of Moscow, now doing yoga for all in every park of Russia. In Moscow, like there's thousands of people doing yoga. Do you think this will be possible in Soviet time or like 20 years ago in America?
Maybe in America, but not Soviet time.
Well, I mean, 20 years ago in America, you don't see 1,000 people go for yoga for all in the park. But I can guarantee if you and I come to New York, have a Facebook advertising, and, you know, bring few yoga teachers with us, we can have like 1,000 people in Central Park doing yoga for all. And you know what? After doing like some stretching, do you think they wouldn't chant or they wouldn't take little prasadam? You think they would say, well, you know, your mantra is like, we can chant right at Prabhupada's place.
So the we can tree do is still there with a plaque.
The tree is in Tompkins Square Park. Mm-hmm. It's more like now a hip place where the designers and artists hanging out. But I'm talking about Central Park. Mm-hmm. He used to have a program in Central Park. I would go daily. You know, I would leave. I when I joined the mission, I moved in 68 in Columbus. I lived and entrance of the Central Park, I would go there every day to chant, where Prabhupada would dance. In the Central Park, where all this famous hippie thing, there's like a big mm-hmm. open place in Central Park, New York, where they had like a crazy kirtan and stuff.
We heard you were very successful in New York and America, and you sacrificed everything to go to Russia to begin our mission there, on Gurudev's order.
Do you ever
miss life in America?
I don't think, first of all, I sacrifice anything. Because how you measure success? When you understand what Krishna consciousness, your measurement of success is different. That's number one. Number two, I think at the time when I went to Russia, Russia was most happening place. It's still like a happening place. I had really amazing experience. And you know, we're looking for comfort and we're looking for success. I think when you want to do something, you start looking for success. The comfort, you know, yoga means like you take an uncomfortable position, you hold until you become comfortable, and then success coming. So from America, I went to Russia because I was armed with new consciousness, with knowledge how to do things, how to get things done. And it was a great time for me in America. But you know, from the famous Terminator film, I have very one special slogan, like, I'll be back. So I'm always thinking to come back to America. Actually, I'm serious, and Gurudev gave me a blessing. But I know America is one of the greatest nations in the world. And Americans one of the most open people. So I'm pretty much thinking of seriously, like, do things in America. But I also know you need to be prepared. Like, you know, Prabhupada prepared himself, or, you know, or anybody, or any great person, before he starts something great, he would prepare himself and do. But, you know, America has one fault, to my understanding, which is very serious. It's too much free. You can't strike for your liberty, like China. Why Krishna consciousness is very, very successful in China? Because people were not subjected to many spiritual ideas. America, people overfeed with spiritual ideas. You know, it's like it's too much of a spiritual ideas. So they lost their excitement. They think, oh, I get this, I get this. Oh, we already, you know, they have like preconceived mind about certain many things. We already heard. Oh, Hare Krishna, we already know what it is.
But everyone's going around shooting each other now. The gun violence has become a
in
major
America?
Problem in America.
Crazy
people with guns,
yeah,
shooting
but
children.
I don't think it's like a mess. I think the problem of America is not the crazy people with guns. America always had crazy people and guns. I mean, it's been an American part of the history. I think the problem in America that people is out of focus because there's too many conceptions. And also, remember, important part, fundamental Christianity in America, it's almost as worse as fundamental Islam on East. It's a very it does not accept other things. So there are places like California and New York where people more open-minded, mm-hmm. but there are still in America very like close communities, very close societies. And they seems like not really interesting to progress. So at some point you can say the most progressive country in the world, which has a greatest opportunity for progress, any kind of progress, material progress, spiritual progress, stagnate, like got stagnant in kind of consciousness. But what I really believe in that advanced part of Americans. I know they're like a great nation. Of course, they're like rednecks that comes with rifles and shoot deers and eat sausages and drive their Harley motorcycles and think like this is the end of the world. They're so proud of their like culture. But they are like smart, deep American kids that I believe will change the world once again. I believe in Americans. I pretty much, like Prabhupada said, your country is great, you should come and do something great. So I'll believe in a small bunch of American guys who will sacrifice for the spiritual life and will change the world. Just like Tyagi Maharaj, look at this guy. He's a sincere, educated person who become a monk, dedicate himself, and he's a great theistic spiritual brain, and you know there are guys like him. So I'm thinking for this kind of guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the important part, we should go and meet them. So we need to connect. Connection means like it's not only TV or book. It has to be the vibe of devotional life, the mood. So I think we're pretty much ready to attack America next year.
So right now Europe's getting it, and then next year it'll be America.
I think in Europe we'll get gradually. I think in America there's a possibility of mass explosion, just like in China. There's a certain point, if you do it right in China, it becomes very big. But see, in China you need to have books, films. The most important is devotees. What we're lacking right now in China is qualified devotees. If we had like 10, 15 people like Lilavati, her type, very dedicated, but also need some, like, you know, like philosophically strong, we could do a lot in China. The thing in China, we're still lacking Chinese because you have to be your own man in your own country. In America, it's a little different because they accept things, but in China, I think you need to have you need to be native Chinese speaking person, mm-hmm. with real understanding what to do and with ability to represent, but that persons may come. I'm sure they'll be coming.
Our army is growing little by little.
Well, see, in Chinese word, I wouldn't call an army, I would just say an opposite. A Chinese very collective mentality. You need some individuals. Chinese already have very collective mind. They have no problem being collective as a group. But what they need is develop individuals. A group of developed engineers who write, who can explain things, who can, you know, think of philosophy in a very mature way. You know, you need a few dozens of Confucius type of guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you need to spend more time in China.
Find
those people.
But, you know, like...
Open doors.
I think they will come naturally. I think it will... You know, China's a different story. We can speak after I come back from China, but my point is America is still one of the greatest countries where a big spiritual explosion is pretty much possible. There's a great people who actually are spiritual-minded people who can take this on a deep level and go beyond common sectarianism. But we should also understand America is very materialistically based country where the dollar rule everything. It's hard to survive without money. So we're also looking for a new model, how modern people can live. And we know like eco-farming, you know, fair trade, health products, like, it's also required a whole new way of interacting with society. Just like, you know, Amish. They don't use cars, they use horses. They do bread and honey and farming. But you can't be Amish these days, but you can get an electric horse, an electric car. You can do eco-farming, you know, and you can do, like, many interesting things, but it requires some thoughtful approach. I think there are many communities in America that are trying and experimenting certain things, and I think as we grow as Krishna-conscious people and we have more professionals, more, like, kind of, like, developed people who can organize and bring some ideas on the table, in America, big lifestyle change is possible.
Well, that's very hopeful, a hopeful outlook for the whole world.
Well, I mean, we're looking for the next 50 to 300 years. But so when we're looking for the next 50 to 300 years, we should also understand it doesn't just come itself. It's important what kind of seed we're planting right now. Just like in Ukraine. The way Ukrainian mission came, for like 10 or 15 years we try. We tried this way, that way, then the social network came, the Facebook contact. Then we've got a few type of student guys who's like in communications, and that's how they spread everything. So it wasn't like, you know, we were doing nothing. You know, we try, have a little spiritual center, there, you know, 10, 15 guys come, you know, half of them, it's kind of like too much divine. You wouldn't be put bait on them. But it tells like it's time to finish soon.
Yes.
But see, everything divine here.
He's saying, uh-oh.
But, so speaking about Ukraine, the way we pull Ukraine and Russia now, we've been doing something for years and not much success. Then one day I start coming to Ukraine, they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now we have like, you know, 300 people come to our public programs. So as you can understand, it's like we've been hammering one spot and hammering one spot, but finally it gives connections to other people. So I think in America as well, or in China, anywhere, even in Rome, you may not get successful immediately. But if you just focus, and market means like whatever you do, you give people access to social networks, you do programs, you know, you do public approach, you communicate with people. You know, you can be very successful if Krishna's will.
And that you are, and we're all astonished to see you in action and to be a part of this mission and to be a contributing servitor.
But you see, I wouldn't see this way because I'm not a very spiritual person from beginning. I'm not excited about being, you know, a very deep spiritual person. I have to admit, we have very deep people in our mission. What I'm excited is to do something, to connect something I'm excited about. Our teachers, the Sridhar Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj, they're our great gurus, you know, to common people, because I am a common person. See, I'm not Socrates and I'm not somebody great. Actually, I'm from another side. I'm from side of common people. I know how much it changed my life. You know, I was never expected to be a guru, to have any high position. You know, I'm a hardworking guy. And I still like to hard work. I'm not qualified to be as executive, you know, a visionary, a market. I just have to learn everything myself as I'm doing things. And I get mistakes. So I think someone like you who spent more time with Gurudev, on spiritual practice, who's very mature in spiritual life, Goswami Maharaj, Madhusudan Maharaj. I think this kind of people, you know, if I can connect them to a common public, then output will be some people will decide to live a serious spiritual life. It's going to be naturally. You know, some people will come to this conclusion in 1 year, somebody in 20 years, somebody in 200 years. But it's better to start, you know, like we have a good start. So that's what my feeling. I feel getting some great knowledge and great teachers and market their ideas to common people and grow this, you know, zone, spiritual communication zone through art, movies, cinema, you know, business. That's where I am. Mm-hmm. And there'll be people like Goswami Maharaj who can, you know, meditate on things and pick up some great spiritual concepts. There'll be people who appreciate that. There'll be people who just go and do like eco-farming. But I think movement means we give opportunity to everybody to grow.
And everyone has their unique contribution, yeah. And so do you.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for joining us tonight, Maharaj. And we'll be back again in a few days.
We'll be
good
back.
Night. Thank you.